Hey guys, you're watching the Burden of Truth After Show. This is season 1, episode 10, the finale, Cause and Fact. So we finally get to see the slimy guys be put in their place. The case is solved. We won! And we'll see what's in store for Joanna Chang. I don't know. Stay tuned, guys.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I don't know why this is my go-to move. Little shoulder.
On and on and on.
Oh.
We are the champions.
Confetti. Picture it. Yay. We won. Victory.
I love Queen.
I love Queen too. Let's just play Queen. Let's not even talk about the show. But hey guys, thanks for joining us. As always, I am your host, Paris Rose, joined by my lovely co-host.
Hey everyone, I am Mina Wahab.
Alright, so we're here. We've made it. What's your takeaways from the episode?
Finally. Finally we have a verdict. I like how everything fell into place so seamlessly. Yeah. It was good. I mean, I felt like this could have been done sooner. I'm like, like you just needed that one thing to blackmail your dad, and that's how you won the case. But
exactly.
There were things that were introduced and that I liked. Like, okay. I liked the name change at the end. It was empowering.
Chang.
Yeah.
Forget that, Hanley. Yeah.
It was good. It's just like, it felt long overdue for me. I was like, we've been following this for a long time.
Exactly.
And yeah.
I felt the same. It was long overdue. It probably could have been solved like in episode 5, but that's okay. I appreciated the lengthy trial. I think my biggest takeaway, but I found it kind of funny that she just realized that Jerry Lynn had to be underage when she was.
How did you not piece that together? You guys look exactly the same age. Like, what?
Exactly.
That's what
it was like. Shocker! Like, I can't believe it.
It was rape. Not rape, but like, well, is it considered rape?
It's statutory rape.
Yeah,
if they're under 18.
So that's why I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Like you didn't figure this out.
Yeah.
You know that the daughter is in high school, like, what? Like,
right.
Like, what are you? I'm just very, very perplexed by it all.
Exactly. And she needed, she needed Jerry Lynn's birth certificate to be able to tell that she was younger. And I'm just like, Joanna.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I believe this, because Joanna's supposed to be way smarter than this. So
yeah.
That I just kind of found comical.
Asian don't raisin. So maybe that was why. Who knows?
I really like that. All right. But I did like, I like that there were confrontations this episode, but they all fell flat. Like, Luna confronted David, and it was just the same type of confrontation that Jerry Lynn had with him. It's like,
I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Couldn't handle it.
You're my dad. I know you are. And he's like, no, I'm not.
It was it really annoyed me because the scene wasn't believable, because in the scene he was playing like this evil villain.
Yeah.
It was too over the top, like, oh, you should ask. It felt too theatrical.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into it, but, and the reason why it felt theatrical, it's like, really, after you have this conversation, then you're gonna walk all the way back, wipe off all the DNA off your coffee mug, and like everywhere else so that she doesn't do another DNA test. Like, that's so extra. Get out of here.
That's really funny. You're absolutely right. They were like, if you guys didn't think he was the villain before, you will see now he is a jerk. It was too aggressive even for David Hanley, so.
Too much. It's too like. Much. You need to troll the mustache. Go all out if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, get him the little fake mustache and have him twirling it.
And call him Dr. Evil.
Yes.
But I did feel a little sad in the next scene where Luna's crying with her mom and they're both
that,
like...
Yeah, that scene was believable for
me.
That scene I was like, okay, like, this is sad and I don't know. It probably makes her mom feel like shit.
Yeah, honestly, it has to, but...
Like, I'm sorry I didn't get you, Officer whatever, Owens.
Beckby.
Or whatever his name is, yeah.
Owen Beckby.
What if
finally
it happened
got
to
it.
The other cop? Remember that other, like,
who attacked
like,
him? Yeah, gone, never introduced again, no one knows, like...
Come on.
That bothered me. I was like, are we never going to address the attacks that took place?
And the cop that... Remember he was talking... That cop was talking to the woman. How do I not know their name after 10 episodes? I cannot.
Which one?
He was like threatening her in last week's episode.
Oh, Diane.
Yes.
Yeah.
Diane.
And then she's just.
What happened to him?
Yeah.
Really? You just gone? I guess we'll find
They're
out
like,
later.
Maybe. maybe they just, like, we don't know what we're going to do with this evil character we introduce, so let's let him go. But to be honest, although I love Diane and her character, I still don't really get why her and Owen even had a storyline. Why were they necessary?
I liked it, though.
Why?
It didn't move the plot forward, but it added, like, a richness to the town of Millwood. Like, oh, people can fall in love, and this is cute. And I think
that's what they're there for,
I think the story was missing that romance element because it was so fixated on the legal aspect.
Yeah.
That it only had, like, hints of romance. And if it had a little bit more, I think it could have been better.
Okay.
So I'm glad that they had that in there. Even though
some side story, something else.
Yeah, it didn't do anything to move the plot forward. Yeah. It just was like, oh, okay, this is a person. This is another person. They live in the same world. Okay, cool.
No, this is a person. No, I do get it. And I guess it, like, all we hear about is this case. So it's something else to put our minds to distract us from just only hearing about the case. So I see it. But I thought they were going to have a bigger purpose. And so I was waiting for it. Diane, I don't know. I just thought Diane, she has a strong character. So I thought she was going to somehow play a role in all this. When she started figuring out that the cop was actually the one who attacked Owen, I thought it was gonna be, she was going to be on a roll from there. Like, oh, she's going to help out with the case somehow. But
show, you know, it was like romance. It was the legal stuff. It was the drama. But the cool thing about AfterBuzz is that we don't just have one genre.
Oh, no, we do not.
Just like the show, we have a little bit of everything.
Tell them about it.
Here at AfterBuzz, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no other network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help, guys. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will actually suggest content that's tailor-made for you. You don't even have to worry about notifications because they're totally optional. Yeah, it's like, it's the perfect situation. So hit that subscribe button right now, you guys. Go underneath the YouTube video, hit subscribe, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comment section so that, spoiler alert, next season we'll shout you out. and thank you on air. But for right now, thank you so much for being the best fans ever and for helping us here at AfterBuzz be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, thank you. Give a hand for Mina for those great reads. Yes. So let's get back into this, though. So I actually really wanted to focus kind of on the character evolutions because I feel like Taylor Matheson had the biggest character development. She started off, that's Ben Matheson's daughter, really naive to this whole thing. She was the first one to actually sign the settlement from like the beginning that they offered her first episode when Joanna was on the other side. And she was super naive to all of this, to then, like, wondering, is my dad a part of this? Like, should I stand with him? Should I stand for myself? To, in the end, running away. I don't know where she's going with leukemia. And obviously, she's been a very homebody type of girl. I mean, she's a high schooler. Where is Taylor going? Like, where do you see, what's her plan?
Joanna, this is all Joanna's fault.
She put
this
the bug in her head.
Joanna's fault. Come on, Joanna, you gotta be careful with your words. Like, because she was projecting. She's like, well, I separated myself from my dad. So then her advice to her was kind of like, sometimes you just have to walk away. And then she's like, okay, let me run away, grab my satchel. Like, he's super dramatic.
Exactly.
But I don't know why that character, what's her name again?
Taylor.
Taylor annoys me. And I from the beginning, I don't know what it was. Not the actress, just the character and how the character is portrayed. It's just, she's so annoying, and so is her dad, and it's just, the whole dynamic between them, I don't know.
She didn't grow on you a little bit, you know, taking a stand?
No, she didn't. She did not grow on me at all.
Oh, I feel like I liked that eventually. I feel like it was a very realistic progression. Obviously, you're going to trust your dad and think that he has the best intentions, even though it's kind of clear that he doesn't. But I think it's hard to be like, you know, my dad's kind of the bad guy, let me step away. And she was able to do that and support the girls, and I liked her progression. But I thought also, Ben, you horrible man, he's watching his daughter deteriorate. Like, she's literally, she has leukemia that was basically caused by the toxins, and he still lies.
It runs in the family. Weren't you paying attention?
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, he says these things so nonchalantly.
But that actually is true. I need to, like, double check, but leukemia...
I think it does.
Isn't it something where it's, like, it's an autoimmune disease, but doesn't it,
like, genetic?
Isn't there, like, genetic risk factors involved? What if it had nothing to do with the mill? And, like, what if, like...
He really is innocent.
Spoiler alert, like, she just happened to have leukemia, and it had nothing to do with the toxins. But it wouldn't explain the twitching.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah, but that would be really
funny. I have, like, faulty logic.
His character, though, Ben, made me really upset, because I believed him for half of it. I really wasn't sure, like, maybe he really is clueless, but then the...
He also reminded me of, like, an evil, like, archetype, kind of like it was just too much, like the...
In the end or always throughout the season?
No, like just in the end. Like, before it was, like, you know, he had me on the fence. And then it got a little too much when he was, like, trying to manipulate his daughter. And he's like, I really want you to do this. It's like, I just, like, why would you be soft and sweet with your daughter? And is that coming from a real place? Or, like, couldn't you just command her to do it if you were upset? I don't know. It just, there was something about it where I was like, why does he give her so much power? He never once tells her what to do. He's actually very gentle and soft with her. And it kind of goes against, like... the fact that he did all these horrible things and was, like, pocketing cash. And why would you keep the cash in, like, random places in your garage? Like,
well, it was locked, like, bolted.
But why? Like, you couldn't... I'm trying to figure everything out. And I don't understand what his motive was, if it was just money or if there's something else.
Well, I think, the mill runs in the family. He took it over from his dad, and he stated early on how he really respected his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also the money aspect. So I think there are reasons why the mill keeps Millwood alive. So he has a lot of people that is pressured to keep this mill, have work.
And he's not evil, though. Is he? No, but, like, as a character, like, you know, without looking at it in, like, a black and white context, are there any redeeming qualities to him? Or is he just, like, pure evil? Like, did he do this just for money?
And all those things, keeping the mill alive, keeping these workers having jobs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, was it more about, like, preserving the town, too?
That's what he said many of the times. But I really think it's just protecting, covering his own ass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like there are any redeeming qualities. I think if there were...
He's not worse than David Hanley, though.
I think so.
He's worse than David Hanley.
Yeah. It's not David Hanley's own daughter that's getting sick from something. He's just a lawyer that just wants to win. That's all he wants to do is win,
mm-hmm.
By any means, which I feel like are a lot of lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a guy who's watching his only daughter be sick and have her scholarships taken away, her future being taken away, and he's still, like, lying on oath and just does not care. There's no sympathy there, and I think...
I would totally argue against... I mean, no, I agree with what you're saying, but like, I just think David Hanley is a way worse character.
How?
In every way imaginable. Like, the things he does to women, the fact that the statutory rape. Statutory rape is worse than someone embezzling money. Not that you should ever compare two crimes, but I just feel like doing that and, like, luring all these, like, young women into a trap to be with him and leaving the mom and making her feel crazy and threatening her and treating Joanna the way he treated her this whole time and blackmailing her and trying to get her disbarred or whatever he did. Like, I just feel like he's done way worse things than this one horrible thing that one person did. Like, this guy just made one mistake that affected everyone.
But there was suicides, there was other people getting sick, and this would have gone on forever.
It was like
all those girls could have passed away, and he wouldn't say.
He made one mistake that affected everyone on a huge scale. David Hanley made repeated mistakes. Not one huge mistake, repeated mistakes, and kept repeating it. I feel like that's worse than making one mistake that has severe repercussions, because at least you can learn from that one mistake.
But his... we can go on forever, but Matheson's mistakes are life and death matters.
This is true.
While, I mean, I'm sure Luna and Jerry Lynn and Joanna's mom and Joanna are all affected emotionally by this, and emotional trauma is a lot, but they're not going to die. They're not going to die.
Just going to live with lifelong trauma. That's it.
Yeah.
No big deal. Whatever.
Easy to handle. Get you a therapist, guys, and you'll be fine. No, they're both pretty bad. I just cannot imagine doing that to my child and seeing mm-hmm. her hurt like that and her being like, you know, be honest with me. You can be honest with me. I'm already on your side. I'm not getting any of the money because Taylor's not getting any of the money. Let be honest. And he's still like, I don't know what to tell you. Sorry, hon. That's creepy. I wouldn't want to live with the man. So that's why I actually agree with her running away. You can't trust a man like that.
Run away, kids. Run away.
And then, okay, since we're talking about character development, I don't feel like Billy really developed at all. I think he's the same Billy from the first episode.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that also makes him, like, good in a way because you can see how he... Like, how Joanna's interaction with him changes as a result. Because he stays the same, but Joanna's changing. Yeah. How does that dynamic play out?
Okay, I could see that.
It's kind of like having, like, a control group in an experiment. And then you always have something to compare the experimental group with. And
Billy's the control.
Yeah, Billy's the control
He stays
group.
The same.
He stays the same.
I loved how he kind of tried to... insert himself in there with Joanne, and she was just like, Billy, I'm going. I'm leaving.
That scene was actually probably the most powerful scene in the entire episode.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that the scene with Luna confronting her dad, like, if you were to read a script, oh, Luna confronting her dad, that's going to be huge. Or, like, them winning the case, that's going to be huge. No, actually, it was just, like, the last scene at the end where she's talking to him, and it's like a love triangle, but with no sight of them ever having done anything together that was ever built up. Did a lot of that. But I still thought the scene was very, like, I felt it. Like, it was well acted. You feel the tension.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, you're discomfort. Kind of rooting for them, even though I'm like, these people have nothing in common. And when they're like, we compliment each other so well. And then she becomes so self-deprecating. Like, yeah, I'm weird and this. Yeah. And you're, like, normal. Like, don't put yourself down. You're a queen.
That was nice. Yeah. But it's so true. She really, I mean, but I think she does think poorly of herself. And that's because of David Hanley. Like Diane said in her very emotional speech, like, you are not your father. You never had to do any of this basically to clear his name. And I thought it was very, like, soap opera-like.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm like, yes, maybe Joanna needs to hear that.
Do you know she's actually my favorite character?
Yeah.
Even though I didn't know her name the entire time. Diane. See? Diane. No, she really was. Because I always felt like there was something very strong about her character. Like, she would never do something that she didn't think was the right thing to do. And she's just very strong, but still forgiving in nature.
Yeah.
And still had, like, a feminine energy, like, ability to love. I don't know. She was my favorite character in the entire series, even though we didn't see a lot of her.
We didn't see her. I remember we thought maybe her husband would come into this because she kept talking about her husband, even up to this last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up being just this character that we'll never know.
Yeah.
And her kids, we saw a blurry image of her kids in the background. I'm just like, so we're never really going to know Diane. Maybe that will be for next season. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But in this season, we really don't know Diane. We don't even know Diane and Joanna's story because they have a backstory.
Yeah.
They were, I guess, really close at one point, and then, you know, Joanna left. But what, like, it seems like they went through something together and we'll just never... They never addressed it.
Maybe they're also sisters. And so like, the plot thickens. I don't know.
This just seems like there is more there. I'm clearly frustrated that I don't know much about Diane or Owen. That whole storyline still is confusing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, where should we go from here? Oh, we still have a little bit of time.
Should we lie or should we tell the truth?
I don't know.
Or should we keep...
All the truths have been out, so I feel like we should out our truths. In our Two Truths and a Lie game, do you guys remember them from last week? Do you? Oh, yes. I always love when the music comes in.
Last week, I basically gave you three different scenarios. Paris was very confident as to which one she thought was the truth and which ones were the lies. But the three different stories... one had to do with Johnny Depp being subpoenaed in a really weird case where he was asked to come in and testify in a murder case. And the defendant, Nancy, was a crazy stalker who was in love with him and claimed that they were dating, even though they definitely were not. Right? You guys remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
I like how I'm like asking, like they like they can really answer me right now. Now, the second case that I brought up was... a man being declared dead, and he had to sue New York three times to remedy the mistake. in a weird mix-up, a man named Juan Antonio Arias. His personal information, like date of birth, social security number, were placed onto the death certificate of a man also named Juan Arias. The issue is that the first man was actually alive, and as a result of the mix-up, all of his Medicaid benefits were yanked, credit cards canceled, bank accounts closed, yada yada. And he eventually did win the case just by, like, showing up and proving that he was alive, which was pretty crazy. And then the final case I told you guys about was the mom suing a Halloween maze company for causing her child to develop PTSD and seizures. Molly Cantor's 9-year-old daughter, Joanna Cantor, experienced much hardship following a Halloween haunt. Not only did she experience PTSD in the form of repeated nightmares, but she also had a seizure following the event. Molly is suing for $5,000, stating that she spent this sum on psychiatry sessions and doctor appointments. So which one did you think was the lie?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember what I thought last week, but I'm thinking this week. Oh, is the dead guy the lie?
The dead guy. That's what you thought it was last time.
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yeah. You're like, oh, because you were laughing. Juan Antonio Arias. Yes. No, that actually was the truth.
Oh, I should have known. Like, that name, to come up with that name.
That was the truth. The lie was actually the Halloween haunt.
The Halloween, the maze thing?
Yeah, the maze.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
you made that up?
Yeah. I mean, Molly Cantor, Joanna. Like, where do you think I drew on names for, like, inspiration?
I didn't even put that together.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then the other one that was, like, true was the Johnny Depp story was actually true.
I did hear that case already. So I knew, but darn. Okay, good job. You fooled me. So, man, that guy really had a fake death.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Well, how did you guys do? Did you get it right? Did you like this game? Let us know in the comments. We would love your feedback. Okay, so let's get back into this, because I think, shall we get into a longer predictions by what we think each character is going to be doing in the future, or should we get into some news?
Ooh, I would like to get into some news.
Let's get into some news first, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. TV news. I honestly can't wait anymore. That's why, like, I just have to let you guys know this. Some of you might already know, but it was actually announced that there will be a season 2 of Burden of Truth. And obviously, Joanna is going to return in this one. Joanna Chang is going to be returning. Along with David Hanley, Luna Spence, Molly Ross, the Officer Owen, Taylor Matheson, Geraldine. But in the new season, we kept thinking, like, what is it going to be about? Like, what's the plot going to be? We have no idea.
Yeah.
But it says in the new season, Michelle Nolden will play Teddy Lavery, a lawyer who mentors Joanna, while Varun Saranga is Noah, Joanna's new client. The other new cast members are Andrew, who's going to be Billy's brother, Shane Crawford, and Raymond Black, who is going to be young Steadman Lavery lawyer. So I can't read right now. But it's basically just going to center around a new case, most likely. And it says that CBC has confirmed that it will continue to air the series. The CW actually has not yet revealed whether or not it will broadcast season 2 of Burden of Truth, but it is going to air in Canada. The network told International Business Times on Monday that there was no news about it to share at the moment. So we know for a fact that our Canadians are going to be very happy.
Yeah.
Still waiting to see if the CW is going to be on board with this. I think it takes them a little longer.
Yeah.
Like, it aired in Canada for season 1 as well first, and then came to the CW later on. So it's probably going to be a similar situation. Exactly.
But if it doesn't come to the CW, you can actually just go to cbc.com and watch the episode. Yeah. Just saying.
You can just go to Canada. You'll be happier.
Oh, but speaking of Canada, I mean, this whole time, I always forget that they are Canadians and not Americans. But Billy said, like, against or something. Like, it sounded a little country. And I was like, whatever that was, there's the Canadian in him. Yeah. It was like, it's one word. It was like, against.
And that, the dance. Cast, I don't know why, the cast actually seems like they'd be really cool to hang out with.
They do.
Like, I love Kristen Crook.
Yeah.
I actually really liked her portrayal of Joanna.
I do too.
Throughout the show and her character arc and how she just became so much stronger.
Yes.
Like, there's a huge difference in Joanna from episode one to Joanna in this final episode. And right. I loved seeing that progression.
It's crazy because actually she was supposed to be this strong, like, passionate, aggressive lawyer from Toronto before. Mm-hmm. And now she's way stronger now after working in Millwood. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy because before her character, I think, like, her character's character was a facade. Her strength, I think, was all a facade. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to put on my lawyer. Yeah,
yeah.
My lawyer mask.
Totally true.
And then it actually became who she really is from being in a little town like Millwood. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah. I feel like it took her going back to her roots to really discover who she was and then, like, grow as a person.
Yeah. So let's get into predictions since we know there's a season two now.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, so let's just break it down from, like, relationships. You got Diane and Owen. What do you think? What are you projecting for them for season two?
I just feel like they're gonna be together.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I'm always like, but Owen, and it didn't work out with the other girl, and he would be such a great father role to Luna, which I still think can happen without him being with Luna's mom. But I don't know. I really see him with Diane.
Yeah.
I think they're so cute together.
They are so cute,
like,
together.
When they woke up next to each other, like, what? I just thought they were adorable.
Hearts in my eyes. Yeah. But I also realized that, wait, so that means Owen was dating Jerry Lynn too, and she looks way younger than even Owen. So I thought that was kind of strange.
I don't think about she looked way younger than Owen.
I think so, like, she looks...
Owen looks super young.
You think so?
Yeah, he looks like he's in his, like, late 30s.
Okay.
And Jerry Lynn looks like she's in her, like, early 30s. Or, like, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Because, I mean, it has to be, right? Because if the one girl had just graduated, if Luna graduated high school, she's, like, what, 18?
Yeah.
So if she had her at, what, like, 14, 15?
She's 15.
What's 18 plus? 33.
Yeah,
33.
Okay, you're right.
She might be, like, 33 years old.
All right. Fine, yeah. I guess it works. Yeah. That's fine. Okay.
That's a good age gap.
That's a good age.
Versus, it's like, normal. David Hanley, who's probably, like, what, in his 60s?
Yeah, like, 50s. mid-50s.
Yeah.
So, okay, you're right. I also think they're going to work out, Diane and Owen. Again, I don't know what their point will be other than showing something different than a case.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're cute, so I like seeing them.
Yeah. And who's Joanna going to end up with?
Not Billy. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Really?
I think if it were to happen, they would give us a hint in maybe the finale, and nothing happened.
What's her ex's name?
Alan.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Oh, he's so hot.
You just want him back.
I want Alan back season two. Oh, that's all I want.
But you did it say that he was going to be back?
I don't think. Maybe. Okay. I didn't read it. Maybe I missed it. But
how could he come back?
I feel like he would. I don't know.
I want him to stick around and see this win
really
and this victory.
I really do. And also, I think that it's going to be really cool to have David Hanley back. I'm so excited he's coming back just because, like,
the dark side.
Even though he played, like, this villainous character, you could tell at the end of this episode there was, like, a lot of regret. And, like, you could tell that he felt horrible about himself because there was this, like, I don't know if you remember the scene, but Joanna was talking to him and he said, as long as I kept the settlement under $20 million, P&L paid me out, like, an amazing deal.
Yeah.
Like, so I got exactly what I needed out of this.
Yeah.
I got the best deal I could have possibly ever gotten. And Joanna was just like,
good for you.
Yeah. Like, wow, you must be really happy with yourself. Walked away, and you could just tell, like, you know, none of that really matters. Like, wow, like, that's what you're excited about? You just hurt all these people, but you're excited that you got the settlement under $20 million to feed your own selfish desires that... I don't know.
So in that moment, did you feel like he felt regret, though?
I do. I felt like once she shamed him for it in a sarcastic way, he kind of, like, paused to think about it.
Okay.
Like, I don't think he felt remorseful until he realized, I'm losing my daughter, too. Like, everybody hates me. I've even lost my own daughter.
That's,
like,
true.
Like, he has nobody.
He really doesn't. And that's the way he's been. That's the way he lives his life. And I do think there was a slight moment after when she had that sarcastic response where he was like, oh, damn. So that's not even cool, you know, for her. And so I don't know if I think I took it as regret, but I think it I took it as like he's realizing that it's not mm-hmm. really that impressive. He's lonely, so.
Yeah, like it's pathetic.
Yeah. And then he called her. You saw that she like declined his call. Mm-hmm. So I think he is trying. Like he realizes, oh my God, I went too far.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I can't see what David will be doing in season two. Stirring up drama again for Joanna. Trying to get back into her life.
I think it's going to be like a different side of him that we haven't seen. Like actually, there's like two sides to every story. And maybe there are some redeeming qualities there that we'll get to explore season two. That's just like me wanting to believe the best in everybody. So.
I'm like, he's evil. He showed himself the first time, so I'm going to believe him.
Yeah. When someone shows you who they truly are, believe them. But I don't know. I still feel like there's something there.
All right. Who else do we have? We have Molly and Luna. They drove off on their excursion together. Very cute. What do you see for them?
Yeah. I love them. I love Molly. I love Luna. I think they're, like, when I watch, I love that the CW shows, like, same-sex relationships. I think that's so important. Yeah. We've come so far in our society where we can actually show these relationships.
In a normal way.
And not have them be, like, a stereotypical lesbian relationship. But, like, an actual, like, authentic, like, no, this is, like, believable.
Yeah.
These are two people who truly love each other. And I just think it was so cute, like, the way they are and how they want the best for each other. And they're a team. It's just relationship goals right there.
It's so mature, too. I'm just like, wow. They really do want the best for each other. Like, when Molly was saying, or Luna was saying she's going to stay with Molly, and Molly's like, you have to go to Winnipeg. This is what you wanted to do. You've been dreaming about this. You've got to, or Montreal. Mm-hmm. Montreal, you have to go. And I'm just like, yes, that is so wise of her, because I think other 17-year-old girls especially will be like, oh, so you really do want to stay with me? That means you love me. Okay,
like,
stay.
How many girls or guys have followed their significant others after high school to whatever college they went to because they thought that... I don't know.
And it still doesn't work out.
You gotta do what's best for you. Like, I almost feel, like, I love the relationship, but part of me is just, like, you know, you change a lot. Like, that period in college from, like, freshman year until graduation, you're not the same person you were in high school. And sometimes you change in a way that's not compatible with, you know, the person you were in love with in high school.
Right.
But I'm hoping that they pull through.
Me too. Also, they are from a small town, and now they're going to bigger towns, and that also just changes things in general. I don't really know how Montreal is or Winnipeg. I don't really get the dynamic, but I understand that Millwood is a small town drama, and they're trying to get out. So I'm only going to assume that things are going to get more complicated for them, but I hope the best. And then we've got Billy. He's on his own. He was trying to do like a Crawford, Hanley.
That was so firm. That was so cute. Yeah.
He's like, should it be Hanley and Crawford? Crawford and Hanley? It was really cute. And she's like, no. None of it.
She's like, Chang.
Yes.
I'm going to keep my name.
My name is Chang. Joanna
Chang. James Bond. That's so dramatic. Joanna, stop.
Joanna Chang. That was really funny. But what's in store for him now that he doesn't have his team member, Joanna? Are they going to team up somehow?
I don't know. He's adorable, but it's like I wouldn't want him. Just because he's not alpha enough.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. He's charming. He's cute. He's sweet. It's just, I feel like Joanna needs someone who will be a little bit more assertive.
Like, he took initiative with the mayor.
Yeah.
He basically blackmailed
the
mayor.
I just don't see them as like a
real thing.
As an item. There's something about it. It just, no.
I don't see it.
Too much feminine energy.
It's true. But maybe Joanna needs that because whatever. It's not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I don't predict
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I imagine him with like a Millwood girl, like, well, Joanna is a Millwood girl, but like because like
a Diane,
like someone like really sweet and
like frail.
No, not frail. I don't associate.
He likes some fire.
Some fire, but I don't know. I just don't picture him with Joanna. I feel like Joanna still has like a lot of exploration to do, and she's entering a new chapter in her life, and she's still trying to figure out all this stuff out, and she's trying to repair her relationship with her mom. She has so much going on that I don't even feel like a relationship should be a top priority for her. If it happens, it happens, but I love that she's not letting something hold her back from what she wants to do. Because it's so hard to have everything, but like she's just like, this is going to be good for me. I'm going to be closer to my mom. True. I'm pursuing my dreams, and she's still going to stay in touch with her sister.
Right. Oh, yeah, Luna. Mm-hmm. And so she is going to see her mom. Last week, I was like, I don't think she's going to see your mom again.
She will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, the last person I feel like we've got to figure out what's going to happen with him is Ben Matheson. So, basically, I mean, obviously, they're guilty. He's got to pay his settlement. His daughter ran away. Mom is crying. What's in store for them? The Mathesons.
I guess we'll find out season two.
Yeah. Any thoughts? Like, I mean, isn't the stuff he did kind of criminal acts? Like, does he not
get... I mean,
get...
isn't the stuff the other guy did who was on the stand also a criminal act?
Yeah.
If he didn't report the extra $1,000 a month he was making.
Right.
And
he was dumping toxins into a place that you...
Yeah.
All of them should be charged, but it doesn't seem like that's the case.
Yeah. There's a lot to still be figured out.
Yeah.
They just made it seem like everything was tied up. And, yeah. Like, where's Ben Matt? Where did
he go? Is the mill shutting down?
When is he going to figure out that his daughter's not there? Where did she go? Like, where is he going?
You said go like Canadians say. Go.
Go.
Go. Anyways, exactly. Where the heck is she going at 17 years old? With no like connections. Well, we don't know. Maybe she does have connections. But they did know she left. Remember, there was like that dramatic scene where the mom is calling her and she's crying.
Oh yeah.
So they know, and he's just like staring out into space.
That's true.
Maybe finally he realized I suck. I am a bad dad.
Aww.
Maybe I'm so against Ben. I'm so against him. But those are my only thoughts. Am I missing anyone?
That's it.
Yeah. All right, guys. So you guys gotta let us. Oh gosh, I cannot speak tonight. Or every other night that I have these mess ups. But you guys got to let us know what your thoughts are, what your predictions are. We would love to know because we can just go back and forth bantering. But we want to know what you think. So check us out in the comments. And you can find me on Instagram at Paris Rose, Paris with two R's. Mina, where can they find you?
I'll tell you where you can find me in a second. Just want to say, Paris, thank you so much for being an amazing moderator and, like, just coming in and killing it each week. You made this so much fun for me, so thank you.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
Seriously.
And you guys can all find me at on Twitter, on Instagram, at Mina Makes Magic.
All right, bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.